Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good buddy David Dossie back on the show. David is one of our top intellectual property attorneys in the Brain Trust. He also happens to be my intellectual property attorney and does a great job with that. He's been a member of my Brain Trust now for over 6 years. And today we're going to talk about something, though, a little bit different from intellectual property. He's got some other things on his mind. David Dossie, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. David, one of the things that's not sort of intuitive, and it's not something that you grew up understanding when you start a small business. If you learn, it's sort of intuitive how to buy things and sell things. The profit idea, you know, whether you execute it very well or not, that's not that hard to figure out. A lot of things in being a small business owner are intuitive. One of them that's not so intuitive is how and when to bring in an attorney. And part of it is just ignorance, and part of it is also intimidation. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think people have a natural understanding of if they're going to the doctor or the dentist, they kind of have a feel for what's going to occur, you know, the procedure.
Right.
But a lot of people have never worked with an attorney and are apprehensive and don't know how to work with an attorney. And the key takeaway is good clients get the most bang for their buck. Just like if I know the chef at a restaurant I'm going to, guess what? I'm going to get a little extra service.
I want to go eat with you, David. But no, you're exactly right. And so one of the things we've done, and it's been a while though. I mean, years ago, I used to have a couple of small business attorneys. I mean, they were ladies, two ladies that were on the show on a regular basis. We've lost them over the years. They've gone on to do other things, but over the years ago, we used to do quite a bit of shows on working with attorneys and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm glad you want to talk about this today. This is a very important topic because every small business owner needs an attorney at some point in time, and if they don't have one available when they need one the most, that's not the time to try to find one.
Right. And you know, a lot of small businesses, once they've got their corporate entity set up, I think their belief is that they're not going to need an attorney until there's a problem.
Right.
And like you said, that is not good thinking. That's like buying a new car and thinking I don't need regular maintenance.
Right.
And I'm not trying to promote the purchase of legal services by any means, but I think that it definitely pays for itself.
Well, as your business grows, you're going to be in and out of contractual negotiations. You're going to be looking at contracts. You're going to be looking at different things. And the key to me, David, is to find an attorney that will be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Right.
And all attorneys are not created equal in that area, David.
Well, and I just in researching for this show, you know, I read a good article and it did say one of a CEO of a company says, when I go to an attorney, I want to tell them what I want to do, and they find ways to make that possible rather than just say, no, you can't do that.
Right. Or all the reasons why this is a bad idea, or why you could, you know, where all the landmines are and why you don't want to go there.
And there's a delicate balancing between, you know, an attorney accepting that they advise on legal issues. The business owner needs to make, once you understand the risks involved and the potential outcomes, the business owner makes the business.
And the roles.
Sure.
Yeah. Everybody plays a role. That's exactly right. But I have found, David, that and that's what I meant earlier when I said all attorneys are not created equal. You know, there are attorneys who think that they know more than the, well, I call them frustrated business owners. You know, they think they know more than the business owner does, and because they've got a law degree, sometimes the business owner allows them to intimidate him or her into making a decision that they wouldn't have made otherwise. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, David's got some tips, some points to go down through to help you find, select, work with, and be successful with a relationship with an attorney for your small business. That's coming right after this break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. David Dossie is our guest.
You better make it soon before you break my heart.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. All the things you can do there are legion. We got thousands of articles and archives and Brain Trust members and answers to your questions at AskJim.biz. The knowledge base is there. The newsletter, you can subscribe to that. My blog is there. Also, a poll question right on the homepage, which we ask. We have a different one every week. And when you click on your answer to the question, it will immediately show you what the results are to date. So far, however, you and everyone else has voted, and you get to see where you stack against everybody else. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. David Dossie is our guest. David is an attorney. He's an intellectual property attorney, and that's invention-protection.com. Is that right? And that's Gallagher and Dossie, the law firm there in Columbus, Ohio. Dave is talking to us about how to find and work with a business attorney. David, one thing we need to point out is that you're an intellectual property attorney. There are attorneys that are general practice attorneys. There are bankruptcy attorneys. There are personal injury attorneys, defense lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. They're specialists in this field. I have known a lot of small business attorneys, but they're not nearly enough of them. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Attorneys who specialize in the issues of a small business.
Right. And that's, if you are, I think the subject of how to find the appropriate attorney for you might be too much to encompass in today's show, but that is definitely something that you need to keep in mind. If you're starting a new business, referrals are always the best way to go, but you need to ask for referrals directed to business formation or small business attorneys.
Right.
And before you hire someone, ask them those questions. How many new businesses have you helped form in the past
mm-hmm.
year or the past 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to get a feel for the people that really do specialize in that versus just someone that says they're a business attorney and might be doing SEC filings,
right,
which have nothing to do with what you really need help with.
Well, or if they spend most of the time doing divorces and defending clients in civil cases, then just because they know how to incorporate your business doesn't mean that they're going to be good contract lawyers.
Right. I tell you, and some of the best small business attorneys I've ever come across happen to have also been CPAs.
Right.
So that seems to be a good mix for the mindset of being able to help a small business. And those are the people, they might not be able to do everything you need
right.
them to do, but they know who to point you to get other things taken care of.
Well, one thing I just like to encourage people to do is search for the right attorney the way you'd search for the right automobile or the right piece of property for your business. Don't just take the first one that comes along. Unless you just stumble upon the perfect one, which you won't know until you look around.
Right. And I often think of it as, like, before you go out and buy a new stove or a refrigerator, most people look at some sort of consumer reports or
right.
reviews, but when contacting an attorney, or even if you already have an attorney, before picking up that phone and calling them, one of my tips was, do some research on the issue before you just pick up the phone and call someone and expect an easy answer.
But I still say, and I know you agree with me, David, that one of your jobs as a CEO of your business in the early stages of your business is to find an attorney that can be available to you. And also give them some work, budget some work for them. Because David, if you're the best option for me in my area, and I've met you, but I haven't given you any work, and I come to you with a problem, you might say, you know what, I've got a conflict. I've already doing business with people on the other side.
Sure.
And that's something attorneys do. They don't violate conflicts, do they?
Oh, no, yeah. There's no point in risking losing your law license
right.
or your ability to practice.
So some people hire an attorney just to, so that they can lock them in, so to speak. But seriously, just because somebody knows how to incorporate you doesn't mean that they are going to be really good at helping you with a contract. What about, you know, negotiate? Another tip that you talk about, David, is using an attorney to help you negotiate. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that people often think of negotiation differently than maybe attorneys would think of negotiation, because business owners will often agree on key bullet points. I'm going to lease this new pizza oven for 5 years at this term, you know, at this rate, and monthly payments
right.
this much due, and I have the option to buy it at the end of the lease for this much. Well, that is, yes, that is the negotiation part, but also when you have to put that in writing, there is going to be a back and forth portion
right.
of getting the final sales or lease agreement worked out that could also be considered negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
But that early stage negotiation, I don't think that necessarily attorney should be the one doing the negotiation, but I think you need to be consulting them, because you could agree on five key points,
right.
but the one that exposes you to the most risk, if it's never come up when you guys have hammered out kind
right.
of what we call a memorandum of understanding, if that key point has never come up until you're drafting the final agreement, well, you guys aren't going to agree on
right.
it.
Right.
And
the whole thing's going to collapse, maybe.
Right.
And yeah, and I agree, and I'm glad to hear you say what you just did, because I agree with you. I think the principals, the business people, should be handling the negotiation, but the attorney should be supporting the negotiation by helping you not step on landmines, by helping you anticipate things that are going to come up eventually. So you might as well know about them now. You might not know about them because you're not a lawyer. We come back, I'm going to get David to talk to us about fees. How do we structure fees with an attorney? And how can we budget for something like that? It's Tintail, right back with David Dossie. I'm Jim Blasingame. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. David Dossie is our guest. David is an attorney, an intellectual property attorney. We used to call him patent attorneys. He's a partner at Gallagher & Dossie. David, give us that website again, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
And you work with people all over the country, don't you?
Absolutely.
Not just in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
I'm not in Columbus, Ohio, and you work with me. You're my intellectual property attorney, so folks, I encourage you to check them out. David, the fees of attorneys. David's helping us understand how to work with attorneys, how to find an attorney, how to get a good one. Make sure that you find an attorney that's suited to your business, to what you need them to do, and make sure you don't hire a divorce lawyer to be your business attorney. That kind of thing. And one of the big stumbling blocks, I think, between somebody having an attorney on a regular basis and using them and having them sort of available to you is a concern about how much it costs. And we get it in our mind that it's going to go through the roof. And I have had attorney fees to get out of hand, David. And they can get out of hand. But if you set it up right to start with, you shouldn't have that problem. What do you think?
Right. Well, everyone's heard the horror stories of a friend of a friend who got a $25,000 bill when all they wanted was to know if they could cancel the lease to their office
right,
early.
Right.
And you know, there Sure, that has happened to people in the past, but I think you've got to accept ownership for a lot of issues like that as well, because, you know, that's like me taking my car to get a repair, and I'll say, give it a head-to-toe treatment. Well, what does that mean? And I think that if you manage your outsourcing, if you're outsourcing a computer program or you're outsourcing work to an attorney, if you manage that project appropriately, you won't get unexpected surprises
right.
like that. And for there's hourly billing and there's flat fee billing. And I think for over 75% of the work that a small business generally needs, it is transactional work. It is review this document or prepare this document
right.
or incorporate me here or dissolve this corporation or file this trademark application. And most transactional work is best suited for flat fee billing. And you're not going to always come out ahead on that. Sometimes the attorney does, sometimes you do. But you know how you make up for that? It's you have certainty. You
right.
know what it's going to cost, and you're not going to get those unexpected surprises.
Well, another thing to do, and you should do this with your marketing, you should do this with your accountant, you should do this with your attorney, you should budget something every month for this. You're not going to use an attorney every month. But if you've got it in the budget, if you've got $3,000 in a year in your budget, then when you get the $2,000 bill, or whatever, if it turns out to be that much, then you've got it in the budget.
Right. Well, and I think not having it in the budget is what prevents people oftentimes from contacting an attorney when they should
right.
be contacting.
Right.
And then they spend 15 hours online looking at self-help books on how to do something that, you could easily mess up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the flat fee thing, I mean, typically you get a flat fee for incorporating, but other things are harder to do on a flat fee basis, aren't they?
Well, I think that for small businesses, transactional work, which is document review preparation type of work, is almost always suited for it. Now, sometimes, yes, you're going to have litigation or where... And the fear of attorneys is always with when you're dealing with another attorney on the other side.
Right.
That attorney is going to be an absolute jerk and want to say where every semicolon in agreement goes.
And we always think that there's this brotherhood, too, there. Because I've heard attorneys say to each other, if you love me, sue me. So, I think that's something that some small business owners fear a little bit, especially if you get into a situation like that.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's the case. I think more often attorneys make money from emotional, irrational clients
right.
that go off on a situation purely based on emotion, not thinking of it as
right.
a business issue.
David, last thoughts, 30 seconds. What's your last tip?
I'd say always ask for a quote or estimate. Attorneys expect you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your attorney's time in terms of the rush project.
Right.
Everything's a rush project, and then it sits around forever. And respond to your attorneys. If you're the type of guy that requires repeated follow-ups for information, it's
right.
going to cost you.
Right. And also, when you get to your attorney, make sure you net it out for them. Don't sit there and whine for an hour and then not want to be billed for it. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen. That's invention-protection.com. That's their website. Got to go for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.